Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, and I've got a special guest co-host with me this hour. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He ran for Congress twice, very valiantly, I might add, in the Wisconsin 5th Congressional District. He's a Navy veteran and a small business owner. We're talking about the appointments, but we're talking about it in a bigger context, right? Because, of course, people are freaking out about Tulsi Gabbard as the director of national intelligence. They're freaking out about Matt Gaetz as attorney general. They're freaking out about Pete Hegseth. I'm sorry. It makes me laugh when I say it, as the Secretary of Defense. And my suggestion to all of us is that looking at the appointments, it's like a microcosm for what we can expect to come in a Trump presidency. It can be overwhelming in volume, right? It can be overwhelming in its cravenness. It can be overwhelming to think of potential harms, right? So the question becomes, where do you plant your flag? We can't react to every single thing that Donald Trump or folks that are going to work in his administration are going to do or say on a daily basis. We will get whiplash so bad we won't know which way is up. So how do we filter? How do we decide what's really important, where to take a stand? Again, which hills to actually die on and to make a point about it. We're going to go to the phones. But Tom, I just kind of wanted to get your sense as we enter into this very new normal where chaos will be king, right? And norms are totally irrelevant.
Yes. And I think the biggest thing is try to cut through the clutter and understand why things are happening in a certain way. I mean, obviously, Donald Trump is going to run the playbook that he told everybody he was going to run. So I think it's just important to understand that things are going to be happening. And where does the resistance need to come from? One of the articles I read yesterday was just about, Democratic governors and attorneys general getting together and really saying, where are we going to fight back? Where are we going to push back? What court systems are we going to use? And where does that need to come from in order to delay what could happen? But also, I think it's important for people to understand, who do you need to protect? Who are they vulnerable that are going to get caught up into this? Yeah. You know, because some people are going to be okay through it. You know, I mean, probably myself included from a privilege standpoint, but there are a whole bunch of people that aren't going to be. And I think it's good to be checking in with people to find out where they're at, not only economically, but, you know, physically and emotionally, in order to understand who do you need to help and who needs your help. But I think also it's understanding that you got to let go of some of this stuff, which is really hard to do, and focus on what's the meaning behind the meaning.
Well, and that to me, as an economist, I always try to look for who also is benefiting, right? Like, where do the incentives lie? We know Donald Trump benefits, right? Because that is how he operates. It's like pure, unadulterated self-interest dressed up like some other things. But it is, you know, aside from fame and some power, what else is operating, right? Because it's not just the fame and the power. That is what's motivating individual actors. But what is the system producing, right? And one of the things that I tend to focus on and have been focusing on after the election is the simple fact that since the 60s, our tax code has become far less progressive, right? It has become completely rejiggered such that rich people just pay less than they ever have done on a proportional basis compared to working people.
Yes. In addition to that, Maggie, not only do they pay less, there's less compliance to make them pay their fair share to begin with, right? So there's actually two things happening.
Yes.
And the compliance part is huge.
Of course it is.
It's been estimated at hundreds of millions of dollars, a year. And you look at that and go, that's money that we're not paying, that somebody else has to pay, and it's just adding on to the debt.
Yes. And here's the thing. Someone else is paying for a lot of stuff, and it's the middle class and the working poor. Yes. Like, that's who's paying for things. And I'll also just say this. There is a government efficiency office, and it ain't going to be the one that's run by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. It's called the Government Accountability Office. And their ROI for every dollar that's spent by that, it's basically an audit department, if I'm being like unsexy about the whole thing. Their ROI for every dollar that is budgeted into that, the Government Accountability Office, the return is like 331. And like, so we already have the efficiency department. It needn't be Elon Musk and Vivek.
We should use it though. We should give them the money they need to go out and do
it. It's the same with the IRS. Right. Like quit auditing the earned income tax credit that operates to help poor people. Worry about the billionaires that are dodging their fair share. Let's go to the phones because we got two of my most favorite conservatives on the line, but CJ's been very patient. CJ, what would you like to say this afternoon? Oh, just one thing before we get going, CJ. Remember, three rules. Don't deflect. Please don't discriminate and don't spread misinformation or disinformation, the three Ds. So with that, sir, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, thanks for taking my call, Maggie, but I wish you'd hold all the callers to that standard. As I listen to you and your guests and hear the panic in your voice, realize that there's two records to these administrations. And the present administration, the incumbents, watched the world become on fire after Afghanistan, and the economy turned a you know what, after they spent beyond their means, like Larry Summers warned the current administration, that they're going to cause inflation that goes up over 22%.
But that didn't happen, CJ. Inflation topped out at 9.1 or 8.9.
You do know, CJ, that we have the by far the best economy in the world coming out of the pandemic. You do know that, right? Well, no, it's not a laughing matter. You can look it up.
People that voted, right?
Well, but that's not what we're talking about, CJ. We're talking about, you're talking about the economy's on fire. I'm saying that our economy, the U.S. economy, is by far the best economy in the world right now. Every other country, every other developed country is dealing with inflation. Every other country is lagging behind in GDP growth. You can look that up. That's not that hard to find.
Well, you and your party keep preaching that because you.
It's not a party. It's an economic fact.
So CJ,
it has nothing to do with parties.
If I can, here's what I'd like to ask you. Forget about the macroeconomics of it all for a moment, because what I think the core of what you and I agree about is that the middle class and working people in this country feel like they're getting screwed. And I have said repeatedly since the election that they're feeling that they're getting screwed, that they're not enjoying the riches, is absolutely right. And the predominant driver of that disaffection, of that anger, of that economic fear, is the tax code. Do you agree, CJ, that two things should happen? We should be taxing billionaires more, at least, and we can argue about what that more might be. And then secondly, that we should adopt a constitutional amendment that declares that money is not speech and corporations are not people. Because I think that's why people are ticked off.
Well, you know, I watched your party proudly raise.
First of all, I'm just going to ask you to do this for me, CJ. I do not believe that party designations are helpful. So do you agree generally? I mean, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you, CJ. And
no,
I asked you a question. I asked you a question, two basic things, which the vast majority of Americans agree with. Billionaires should pay more than they are. The largest, most consistently profitable corporations should pay more than they are. And we should take money out of politics. And I'm asking you what your thoughts are, sir, on those topics, on taxes and on money and politics.
And CJ, both parties agree to that. Both parties say that that's what they want.
Your party wanted to raise, your candidate wanted to raise corporate taxes to 27%.
Correct. Because
because it's going to kill jobs.
That's not true, CJ.
CJ, we have the lowest unemployment of any economically developed country on the planet right now.
And one could argue cause and effect, but corporations, CJ, have done just fine. corporations making a ton of money, and you're laughing. They haven't done just fine. Corporate profits are up more during the Biden administration than they were in the Trump administration, sir.
Stock market is at record highs right now, CJ. Well,
you're going to drive them. You're going to drive them overseas, just like your candidate promised.
That's just, first of all, she.
I don't know where we're going with this. CJ, do you want to have a conversation or do you just want to do talking points?
I think he just wants to do talking points. So let's move on.
We're open
we?
To a conversation, CJ. We're ready for you. Have a conversation. But if you want to do talking points, we're not going anywhere.
Can't do it. Gary from Sussex, you got the mic, my friend. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Well, I want to know, you said your two favorite conservatives. Who is number one and who's number two?
I said that?
Yeah, you said my two favorite conservatives are on line next.
Oh, you mean between you and CJ, who's number one and number two? You, Gary, are number one. You're my favorite conservative. That we can actually have a discussion.
We didn't get anywhere with CJ. No, we didn't have a discussion. CJ, hopefully this will be a great discussion.
Yes, go ahead, my friend.
For the record, I like CJ. Right?
I do, too. I like him as a person. I get frustrated with him as a caller, but go ahead,
It'll be
Gary.
Great to have a conversation, though.
Right.
All right. Now you guys are talking about the nominations for secretaries, and you're talking about the guys from Pete Hegseth from Fox.
Yes.
I watched this guy for years. I think he's really good. He is young. He's a major in the Army, and I think he's going to be great. Now, as far as Matt is concerned for Attorney General, the thing is, if he's really guilty of this stuff, don't you think he would have told Donald Trump quietly off to the side, hey, listen, I don't want to ruffle any feathers right here. I don't think this would be good because I don't want them to start digging into my past again. It's all kind of gone away for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things Gary, if I can jump in. I actually think Donald Trump may have been trying to bail Matt Gaetz out. He gives him the appointment. Gaetz resigns from Congress, by the way, days after being reelected. And he did that maybe to kill the House Ethics Committee's investigatory report from coming out. Now, the trick is, like, once you're out of Congress, the investigation has to happen. It has to stop. But the investigation has already happened here. They're just literally moving the commas around in the report. So that is a bipartisan committee. They have to vote about whether to issue that report. I think Matt Gaetz was just trying to dodge a bullet, and DJT helped him out.
The report was supposed to come out tomorrow.
Right.
The report was scheduled to come out tomorrow.
Right.
And the actual Senate is now requesting to see if they can get a copy of that report.
Gary, hang on, because here's what's interesting about this. Matt Gaetz was obviously investigated for basically like human trafficking. And what I understand, and most of the coverage, and listen, he wasn't charged. That's the facts.
That's right.
But the reason they think or at least what I've heard, and having worked as a lawyer for a long time, the major thing that you look at in criminal prosecutions is the credibility of the witnesses against the defendant. And the two major witnesses in Matt Gaetz's cases were themselves not very credible. And one was convicted of a lot of various crimes. And so, again, the Ethics Committee report would be really important for the American public to see, wouldn't it? To like, hey, there wasn't a criminal prosecution, but did this elected official not only show nudie pictures on the House of the floor, on the floor of the House of Representatives, but did he actually do some things that draw his ethics into question? Don't you want those answers, Gary?
Yeah, well, sure. But the thing is,
okay,
isn't it kind of weird? Wait, isn't it kind of weird? All this stuff is just coming up right after they.
Oh, this investigation's been going on for 2 years.
Yeah, hang on, Gary. Right, just hang on, sir. I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to take care of business. I'm a slave to the clock here, but we'll come back with Gary, Karina, everybody else on the lines. Your texts and phone calls. Welcome 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn, special guest co-host Tom Paulsiewicz, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More coming up next. Perfectly in mind, thank God you love me when